Let's open our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew in chapter number 16. Been preaching for several weeks now concerning relationships. The first message I preached was back in November, and that message was a relationship, the most important. The most important relationship that you can have is with Jesus Christ. All other relationships fall by the wayside when it comes to having a relationship with Jesus Christ. The way to have a relationship with Jesus Christ is very simple. It is that you must admit that you're a sinner. You have sinned against God. You have sinned against your Creator, and you need His grace, and you need His salvation to save you from His judgment. And that's what you need to do. You have to bow your knee before Him. You have to admit to Him that you're a sinner, that you've sinned against Him, and you must accept His payment, the payment of Jesus Christ, the payment of His life, His death, and His resurrection, so that you can be saved and that you can be forgiven of your sins. And that's what you need as a relationship. Then we looked at relationships, priorities in our relationships. How we need to have the priorities in our relationships rightly. And again, I say that in the beginning of that, you still need something that you need to lean back to, something that you have a foundation of, and that's got to be Jesus Christ. And every relationship that you have, no matter what it is, whether it be co-worker, whether it be family, whether it be husband or wife, you need the foundation of Jesus Christ in your relationship. That's relationships and priority. Then we looked at relationships. You make them what they are. Are you going to be a giver in your relationships? Are you going to be one that stands up and stands out and says, I'm giving, I'm giving, I'm giving because I want my relationship to go well? And so we come to that and all those things, and we have talked about all different kinds of relationships, husbands and wives and co-workers and family and friends and neighbors and so forth and so on. But now we come to something at the end of the year, or close to the end of the year. I'm looking forward. I'm thankful for 2018, but I'm looking forward to 2019. I'm looking forward to 2019 in my own life, my personal life, but I'm looking forward to 2019 with Bethel Baptist Church. I'm looking forward to that. So this morning, I would like to preach a message on your relationship with the church. Your relationship with the church. Let's all stand. Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew 16. If you're not physically able to stand, that's all right. Matthew 16 and verse number 13. Verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, Some say Thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, and the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Let us go back and let's look at verse number 18 again. Verse number 18, And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let's pray. Lord, we come to You this morning. We thank You for the group that has gathered together. We're thankful, God, for the past, Lord, that we've had, Lord, but we're looking forward to the future. I pray, Heavenly Father, that You would help me preach, God, or to give the Word of God by Your Spirit. I pray, Heavenly Father, that I could exhort and uplift people, Lord, to go further, Lord, as the days we approach. Lord, we look to you in all things and ask of you, God, in your power, speak to every person's heart. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Jesus just asked these men that had been following him for years and years. They had been following him, listening to his teaching, partaking of meals together, in different homes together. They had gone out and preached the word. They had come back and given their report to Jesus. Jesus asked them a very serious question. He said, Who does everybody say that I am? Well, some say this and some say that. Some say you're this prophet of old and things like that. But we find here that Peter gives a fantastic answer, does he not? He says, you art the Christ. Amen? Peter says, answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What he is saying is that is you are the Messiah. You are the anointed of God. You are God come down as himself in the flesh. You are God, and notice what he says here, the Son of the living God. This is an expression that is very important that maybe we don't understand, but what he is saying as the living God, you are the God of the Israelites. You are the only God. There is no other God. The living God signifies that it wasn't a statue that could be made or bowed down to. The living God is saying that he is the creator God and really and truly the only God. And what he is saying is that you are the anointed of God. You are of the living God. Good answer. Amen. I don't know if y'all ever watch Family Feud or not, but it doesn't matter what some joker says. Good answer. Good answer. And it doesn't matter what they say. They could be so far off and somewhere way out in left field somewhere. Good answer. Good answer. And there's always one cousin or uncle sitting over in the corner. He's clapping, but you look on his face and he's thinking, that ain't a good answer. Yeah. But we see that Peter gives a fantastic answer. Amen? How does he get this answer? He gives this answer and gets this answer. Jesus says, you haven't just got this from anywhere. You haven't just got this from being around me. You have gotten this from God himself. Hallelujah for that. Amen? You have gotten this from God. And because of that, Peter, you are going to be a part of the foundation that is the church. Now, I don't want you to get sideways on that. The Catholics, they take this a little too far in talking about Peter being the foundation of the church, but Peter is part of the foundation. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, the true cornerstone, and then the apostles and those that follow, those disciples of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. And of the household of God and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Peter knew that Jesus was the answer that had come from God. He was the answer to their sin. He was the answer to their issues, their problems, and it had affected, it had changed his life. And when he knew that, Jesus said, on you I'm going to build the church. You and I, Peter, connected together. This is not something that is extraordinary. This is not something that is pushed away from us, because we too can be a pillar within the church. We can also be a pillar within the church. Now, there's the concept and idea as church, as some people use the word universal church. But as the greater church, as I like to say it, the church is made up of all born-again baptized believers in Jesus Christ. But what we have here in our community is Bethel Baptist Church. This is our local church. Local is relative, amen? Years and years ago, local was how far you could walk. Local was how far you could ride a mule or a horse. Local now has been changed a little bit. We have people that drive from Madison Heights. We have people that drive all the way from Forest. Amen. Praise God for them. Amen. We have people that even come from Nelson County. Praise God. They need the gospel too. Amen. Man, I tell you what, praise the Lord, we see this in the Word of God, though, that each and every one of us that are born again, baptized believers in Jesus Christ, we can all be pillars within the church. Listen to this. Not only was Jesus Christ exactly what he needed, but he also said that he had words that were needed. John 6, 68 through 69 says, "Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the word of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." There it is again. Here we find that he has given something extra to it. It is not just that he is Christ and he is our everything, but that he has words of eternal life. We come in as born-again believers, and we gather today to celebrate Jesus Christ. We celebrate him as the true and living God, and we gather around his word. That is what we do as the church. Jesus is to be believed, he is to be received, and he is to be followed. He is God and gives words to live by. Jesus Christ has established the church. What is your understanding of Jesus Christ? What is your understanding of what he has done and what he does or continues to do? What is so important about the church? When I speak again about church, I'm speaking about the local church. I'm speaking about Bethel Baptist Church. The church in the Word of God is an assembly, a congregation, a group of people coming together with the same belief. We believe that Jesus is the only way to have our sins forgiven. He is God and man. He died a sinner's death as a sinless man. He resurrected from death and lives forever. The church is made of born-again baptized believers in Jesus Christ. We are his followers. We are his students. We learn of him and are obedient to his teachings. Everybody follow me so far? This is the church. Jesus is the head. Jesus is the leader of the church. We are all under him and his direction. He leads the church by the Holy Spirit in connection with his word. The church has believing people to gather together and worship him, to study his word, and what we gather and get from the Lord, we then are to go out and sow it amongst the lost. We are to sow it even amongst other believers. We are to take and gather what he has given us and sow it. This constitutes a church, an assembly of people. We as the church meet in the Lord's house. This is just a house. I know we use the word, we say the church. Let's go to the church, going to church. But the church is the people. God forbid, but if this building were to burn down and be gone, we would still have the church. Amen. Hallelujah for that. We see that it is not a building, but the church is an organism. It is alive. It is something that is growing and increasing, and we find, according to the Word of God, it never ends. The church will continue on forever, ever since it was birthed from God himself. The church as a whole body, as a local church, the church is compared to a bride, the church is compared to a physical body, and it is compared to a building and how it is put together. What is your relationship with the church? These are not my points. I have other points, but this is just in my introduction. What is your relationship in the church? Is it a secondary relationship? It is because someone else that you come. Is it that your secondary relationship with the church is because of your mama? Is it because of your daddy? Is it because of your husband or your wife or some connection with someone? You have a secondary relationship. If something were to happen to them, what would you do? What would happen to you? Where would you go, or would you stay within the church? Or is it one of a social relationship? It is because you have friends and family in the church and you want to see them. I'm not saying that's a wrong thing. I'm not saying all of these are wrong. What I'm trying to say is, though, if all that fades away and goes away, what do you have then? Are you still in? Are you still connected? Is it a secondary relationship through somebody else? Is it a social relationship where you just want to come and be around other people? Or is it a spiritual relationship? You come to church because you know you're saved and you have Jesus Christ and you want to serve Him within your local church and let your local church have an effect, a touch on the community. Amen? That's what we're supposed to be doing, and also the world. Our small church can touch the world. We are supporting missionaries. Amen? We have missionaries. We have 18 missionaries that we give to, and they are out there preaching the Word of God. Some of them have already given the Word of God. They've already had services today. They might even be going into their evening services. We, as a local church, can be a part of all of these things, and it doesn't have to be secondary. It doesn't have to be about social. It can all be about a spiritual decision in our lives. Peter has a relationship we can learn from. Amen? But there are others knowing the importance of the church. Acts chapter number 6, if you would turn there. Acts chapter number 6. I want you to see this morning. Acts in chapter number 6. Let's look at verse number 1. We're talking about the church. We're talking about the local church. Your relationship. Your relationship with the church. Acts chapter number 6. Acts chapter 6 and verse number 1. In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called a multitude of disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor. How about old Nicanor? Y'all, anybody having a baby soon? Nicanor, that's a good name, amen. Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Notice what we have. An issue has taken place within the church. Now, the church of Acts was a very large church. Thousands of people were a part of this church. Now, church back then was different than we have today. They had a predominant room where 125 people could meet. The 12 disciples, what they did as by twos, they went to houses each and every day and gave the word of God. That's what they did as church. We have something very convenient for us today. We're not coming in and muddying your house up. We're not coming in and eating your cookies up. We can all gather together in a church house. Amen. We have created this for our convenience to gather together as one under Jesus Christ. Here, as they had a decision to make, they come together and make a decision together. And when they make the decision together, notice what it says. He says, go out and find a certain type of man. Brethren, look ye, verse 3, out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. They were going to be taking care of the widows. They were going to become a pillar within the church. Their relationship was now going to be extended and grow in a greater capacity. I find Peter had a great relationship with the church. He was part of the foundation. I find that these servants of God, these deacons, they find a place as they can be a pillar within the church. Amen? They can be part of the foundation. Where are you at this morning? Where are you? Are you in service to the church? Are you in service to the Lord Jesus Christ in the church? Everything that should go is by the local church. if somebody goes out here and creates a ministry and claims that it is a ministry for God, and it is not connected, not under the authority of a church, it's called a para-church organization. It is away from and outside. It is the same thing as having an old shed in the backyard. It's not connected to the house. There's some junk out there. There's a bunch of stuff that maybe you don't even know what's out there anymore. And you're not even concerned about it because you know if you open the door, it's all going to fall out anyway. But I say that something like that, that is not connected with the church, is not really part of the local church. Are you following me? I'm saying, though, that we have got to get connected in. We have got to come in a greater capacity in 2019 for Jesus Christ and Bethel Baptist Church. Notice that it wasn't completely laid on the pastors. Amen. It wasn't there's 12 of these guys. 12 of them. Now, they had thousands of people they were serving. They said, we've got to be in prayer and we've got to be in the Word of God. The church, the believers decided together, appoint someone who's full of faith. Amen. These are servants in the church and they're willing to go beyond their lives. Willing to go beyond. Acts chapter number 18. You don't need to turn there. Just listen to me. There's a famous couple here, Aquila and Priscilla. How about that? Husband and wife, name that rhymes. And we find them in the Bible. Guess what? They're always together. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. Aquila and Priscilla. Aquila and Priscilla. What we find out about them is they become friends of the Apostle Paul. They work together with the Apostle Paul. They learn of the gospel together with the Apostle Paul. They sail to other places for the sake of the gospel with the Apostle Paul. They are left in Rome there, and they work in the church there. The Apostle Paul leaves them, and he goes to Ephesus. While he's in Ephesus, he writes a letter to Corinth, and he says, hey, I need them to come over here. They go over to Ephesus, and when he is at Ephesus, then they get a house, and they put the church in their house. Man, they went to Caesarea with him. They went to Rome, and then they go by his letter all the way to Ephesus. Look it up on a map. It's a long ways. They go all the way over there. They find them a home with the intention to have church in their home. The Apostle Paul praises them for this. They decided that they were going to live for God and do something for the church. Amen? You with me so far? Let's turn to Romans chapter number 16. Romans in chapter number 16. I want to encourage you for the upcoming year. I want to encourage you to get yourself in, get yourself established into Bethel Baptist Church. Romans chapter number 16 and verse number 3. Romans 16 and verse number 3. Him would Paul have to go forth with him? And took, I'm in Acts, might help if I got in Romans. That was about circumcision. Woo! All right. Romans 16, verse number 3. Romans 16 and verse number 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. That's good enough. We can read that and we can say, praise God for helpers, amen. Y'all remember Moses was over there? There was a great battle that was going on, and the sun was going down, and so forth and so on, and everything that was happening, and there was two men. As long as Moses had his arms up, the battle was being won. But Moses grew weary and tired, and his arms began to come down, and then the enemy would take over and be winning the battle. And two men came in beside Moses, and they put rocks up under him. Hallelujah. That's Jesus Christ. They went up under him with Christ, and they held his arms up for him, and the battle then was won in the name of the Lord. See, everybody needs a little help, amen. The church needs some help. The church needs you to come in and lift up the arms. It says they were helpers of the Apostle Paul. But hold on a minute. Let's read verse 4. Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. They were with the Apostle Paul, And as they were with him, he says they even laid out their necks. There were times that were dangerous, and they did it all for the gospel, for Jesus Christ, and the Apostle Paul. How about that? Amen. What friends of a preacher? What friends of a church? 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians and chapter number 16. Trying to encourage you this morning. Get involved, amen. Be involved in Bethel Baptist Church. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, and let's look at verse number 19. 16, 19. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. I've already mentioned this. They left their position. They left their position in Corinth being tent makers and traveled with the Apostle Paul. They left where they were in Caesarea and they went to Rome with the Apostle Paul. There in Rome, they stayed and had a church house, and Paul went to Ephesus and other places. And when he got over there, he said, "Hey, I need some help. Y'all been great helpers. You've laid your necks out for me. I need y'all to come over here." They went over there. And here they are writing to Corinth, and he says, "They're with me. They're still helping. They're still doing." They were pillars in the foundation holding the church up. Amen. Everybody follow me. We can gather from these folks. Peter knew what the Lord was, and he knew what he had. People were willing to serve in any capacity. In Acts chapter 6, they were going to serve the widows. Aquila and Priscilla went above and beyond for the church. What kind of relationship do you have with the church? Here's my 3 points this morning. Some of them you may chuckle at, but these just came to me, and I'm just going to put them out there, all right? What is your relationship? What kind of relationship do you have with the church? Now, let's make sure of this now. I do everything I can as a preacher to not be an aimed preacher, not to create a sermon that is about your life, not to create something that I can point somebody out. I ain't a bird dog, amen. I'm not that. I want to go by the Holy Ghost of God and give you something from the Word of God. And I want to say this and these things here. And you need to take it as the Holy Ghost of God speaks to you about it. Everybody with me? All right. Because afterwards, I still want us to be friends. Amen? All right. Praise the Lord. Amen? What kind of relationship do you have within the church? Do you have a slip-away relationship? You slip away from church services. You slip away from duties when you hear them. You slip away from the preacher when he sees you at Walmart. You slip away from other believers. You slip away from investing in your local church. Peter wasn't. He didn't slip away, did he? He and the deacons and Aquila and Priscilla, they didn't slip away. When they heard it, they got on it. Amen? Maybe you're a slip away. You have a slip away relationship with the church. And how about maybe you're a standby? You have a standby relationship with the church. You stand by and watch it happen. Huh? Ain't that right? Nathan's over nodding his head. He wants to say amen so loud. You stand by and watch it happen. You stand by while activities go on. You stand by while others worship the Lord. Amen? You stand by while missionaries go unsupported. You stand by. And do not let the gospel escape your hands or escape your lips. You stand by and not be involved. Counted as a person within the church, but that's as far as it goes. Right? Do you have a slip-away relationship? You slip away when something's going on. Do you have a standby relationship? You're there, but you're just standing by. Amen? We are all leaving 2018. Behind us, the Lord willing, we will come to January the 1st, 2019, and we have to start rewriting our checks. Amen? Oh, no, it's 2019. We're coming to the end, and we also have a beginning. That's the exciting part. Sometimes we can look back over a year and we can have sadness, we can have sorrow. There may be happiness within it, but at least God is giving us a new beginning. And as we have a new beginning, what will we do with it? Some of you have already decided in your mind, maybe in your hearts, that you're going to have resolution. Do you know the top resolutions? You know what they are?
Yeah.
Exercise, weight loss, and this is, I like the third one. Number three is read more. That's good, amen. And organization and being time conscious. Those are the top. Those are the top ones people will resolve in their lives. They want to lose weight. They want to read more. They want to be time conscious and they want to be organized, and that they can be a better person. But what we don't find is spiritual resolutions. Resolutions that have to do with your spirit. Resolutions that have to do with the Word of God. Resolutions that have to do with giving more and announcing Christ more. Evangelism. Why don't you make a resolution of evangelism? I'm going to give more people the gospel this year than I ever have. Start with giving tracts, amen. Start with a conversation. We can help you with that, amen, in any way we can. We're glad to help you. What we're looking for at Bethel Baptist Church is a stone relationship. Being a pillar that can be counted on. Make a spiritual resolution instead of a fleshly one or just a fleshly one. Help others. Make a focus and say that I am resolved to make Jesus Christ everything this year. And everything from Christ will flow out of me to others. Be resolved that you're going to do for the Lord through your church. Amen. Through Bethel and for Bethel Baptist Church. 1 Peter and chapter number 2, and we're going to close. 1 Peter and chapter number 2. Now, I got to put a commercial right here. It'd be a good time for a commercial. You don't want to miss tonight. I have discovered something in the Word of God it has got me so excited. I seriously prayed about preaching it this morning, and the Lord won't let me do it. And it's going to be a study that's going to go on for a couple Sunday nights. And I'm telling you what, I have never, as the Bible says, I've never seen it on this fashion. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to delivering it. And I pray that you would make a resolution to be here tonight. 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. And let's look at verse number 4. 1 Peter 2, verse number 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Do you know what you are today? If you are born again, you're chosen of God and you are precious.
Yes.
Be in the foundation of Bethel. We need you. We like precious things around here. Amen? We need precious stones to be fit in. We need somebody that's lively to fit in. Amen? He says a lively stone. Not dead and hard, but alive, but yet still where people can stand upon strongly. Verse 5, you also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That's our resolution. That's where we need to be. That we are going to build up a household. A priesthood of people that have the Word and want to give the Word. We're going to build in a spiritual sacrifice. That we're going to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ more than we are our bodies. Amen? What we need at Bethel is a relationship that's a stone. A gem precious in the foundation of the church. Let's stand for prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I am so grateful for the local church. Lord, if it had not been for the local church, I would not have heard a preacher. If it hadn't been for the local church, God, I wouldn't have heard a preacher give the word. Lord, if it hadn't been for a local church, I might not be saved today. Lord, if it hadn't been for a local church, I wouldn't have grown in the word. Lord, I'm so thankful and praise you, Lord Jesus, for giving me the opportunity to be a part of something that is so wonderful. Lord, you've brought me down through all the years, Lord, and now here I'm in a local church, and Lord, I'm thankful for it. I'm blessed by it. I'm blessed by those that are stones within this church, God. Precious, chosen of God. Lord, that I could connect with them, and God, that we can have an effect on the world. Oh, God, I praise you. I praise you for that, God. It's wonderful to be a part of this church. Lord, we look to you. We ask of you. Lord, I ask your anointing. I ask your power. I ask your presence, Lord, to be manifest in Bethel Baptist Church. I ask you, oh, God, do a work in each and every one of our hearts. Lord, I pray for those that come and don't know you as Savior. I pray, Heavenly God, that you would please speak to them and show them their need to be born again and their sins be forgiven. God, I pray for those that come, Lord, that are faithful to services. Lord, bless them, God, in the days that are ahead. Lord, be upon them, strengthen them, help them, God. See to their needs, God. Let them be in prosperity, God, by your hand. Oh, Heavenly Father, please be upon Bethel Baptist Church, God, as we seek, Lord, as we seek to give people your word, to give people your love, to give people your grace and mercy. Help us, God, be the church that you want us to be. Oh, Lord Jesus, please be over us. Help us, Lord. The altar is open this morning. Won't you come?